Be aware of some things. January 29th, which is a Friday, we're going to have a Healthy You seminar, and it's going to be conducted by a nutritional doctor, Kathy Stricker. And I'd encourage you, if you can come, invite your friends or neighbors. It's a free seminar, and the information will be good. And anything that we can do to help our bodies is a good thing. So Friday, January 29th at 6:30 p.m. And then for couples who are married and engaged, we want to build strong marriages, and we have a marriage seminar February 19th and 20th. And we're excited about that. So if people who are part of this church are free, people who are not part of this church, it's a $20 fee. So pass the word along. And it's going to be a great time, and it's going to be fun. Amen? We all like to have fun when we come together and learn something as well. You know, Jesus made learning fun. He was never uptight about anything. So, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to go to Mark chapter 11. And we began talking about the topic of forgiveness last week, something that we all have to deal with at some point or another. And Mark chapter 11, this could be known as the faith chapter, and verse 22, and Jesus was talking with his disciples after they realized that the fig tree that he cursed was withered away and died the very next day that he cursed it. And he told them this in verse 22. He said, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God." Everybody say that. Say, have faith in God.
Have faith in God.
Our faith is to be in God. It's not to be in opinions or prayers, but our faith needs to be rooted and grounded in God. You know, faith faith has to be on something, and that something that our faith it rests on has to be unchangeable. And God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But then he goes on to say in verse 23, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." Now, this is the operation of faith. This is how faith works, or how faith operates. It operates by our words and what we say. So your words will greatly affect your faith, either positive or negative. And then 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." You have them the minute you believe you receive. And we have to do the believing we receive before we have them, otherwise it's not faith. And then, but verse 25 is a very interesting verse. He said, "And when you stand praying, forgive." Everybody say, forgive.
Forgive.
Unforgiveness will mess up your faith. It will hinder your faith. It will cause your faith to be inoperable. And he said, "If you have aught against any," if someone comes to mind and you have aught against that person, it doesn't say whether or not that aught is justified. If you have aught, if there is aught there, then your father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. So you have to forgive if you have aught against you. But if you do not forgive, verse 26, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I don't know about you, but I don't want to clog up God's forgiveness. And unforgiveness will harden a person's heart. It's detrimental to your spiritual life. And if something's not working in your life, check if you have aught against any. And deal with that aught. And the way you deal with aught is you forgive. You release that person of any debt. What does it mean to forgive? It means to pardon or absolve of wrongdoing. Yeah, the person might have done you wrong, but you release them of that debt. You pardon them. One guy who was in a maximum security prison, he escaped three times. They called him the frog. And the third time that he escaped, God told him to turn himself in. How'd you like to have to jump out of a two-story window, clear the fence, hit the ground, and then God says you got to turn yourself in? Well, he ended up turning himself in. And a revival broke out in the prison. And he ended up getting a lot of people saved. And he ended up getting pardoned. And that means absolved from any wrong. And he jokes about it. He says, my record is better than some of yours. But his name is Randy Greer. And that's what pardon does. It's also to cancel a debt. And it's also to give up resentment. You know, we're not to hold any resentment. And so forgiveness is the act of pardoning another in spite of slights, shortcomings, and errors. We all have them. So the best thing that we can do for one another is make allowances for people. All right? And, you know, the Bible is the only book that talks about forgiveness. There's no other religion that deals with the subject of forgiveness. Now, there's two requirements for forgiveness. Everybody say requirement. One is substitution. All right? How many know that it should have been us on the cross? But it wasn't, because why? Jesus took our place. He was our substitute. And you could read Isaiah 53:5. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So he is our substitute. And that's where the sacrificial system came in. When Adam and Eve sinned, what was their substitute? Animal, right? Because God covered them in skins. The leaves weren't doing the trick. God says, no, I need something else. There had to be blood shed. And then the second requirement is that when someone sins, they've got to come in a spirit of repentance and faith. You know, what did John the Baptist preach when he was baptizing? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He preached the message of repentance. He told the Pharisees, he said, the axe has been laid to the root of the tree. He said, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. So there has to be a substitution, and we have to come in the spirit of repentance and faith. And, you know, of course, our forgiveness is linked to Christ. Can't go without that. His death on the cross and his resurrection. That was the ultimate fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifices. Once Jesus died on the cross and rose again, we don't have to kill the heifer. We don't have to kill the lamb. We don't have to kill the bull. We don't have to kill all that stuff and burn it on the altar. Thank God that Jesus was the fulfillment of all sacrifices. He died once and for all, and it was good. All right? Now, I want to talk a little bit about Christ's resurrection and how it relates to forgiveness. And this is from Nelson's Bible Dictionary. And Christ's resurrection was an act by which God wiped out the false charges against him. You know that they could not find anything wrong with Jesus? And the Bible tells us that they had to get false witnesses that would actually testify against him. But his resurrection not only proved his deity, but it wiped out all the charges against him. That's powerful. All right? And this is according to Nelson's Dictionary. And it was the resurrection was God declaring his son as perfect in righteousness. Perfect in righteousness. And then it says, because he was acquitted and declared righteous, this is also true for those whom he represents. Woo! Now you're getting something good. Because Jesus was declared righteous and he represents Wanda, so therefore Wanda is declared righteous. And Jesus represents Elliot, therefore Elliot is declared righteous, because it's based on what Jesus did. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we get the benefit of his righteousness. We rest on what he did. See, we can't do anything to become righteous other than trust God, trust in the Lord. That's powerful. Whew, hallelujah. So the resurrection had to happen because it was a necessary condition for the forgiveness of sins. And we know that Christ had authority to forgive sins. Remember when Luke chapter 5, when they brought the lame man down from the rooftop? What was the first thing that Jesus said to him? Now, remember, they brought him before Jesus to get healing, okay? But Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, people in the crowd were like, who can forgive sin but God? Hello? That was a little clue there of who he was. He said, just so that you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, which is it easier to say? Thy sins are forgiven, or pick up your mat and walk? Guess what? Same power does both. And do you realize that the forgiveness of God enters us into salvation, which is wholeness? Salvation means to be made whole. That means nothing missing, nothing broken. And forgiveness is the doorway to wholeness. I like that. Just came up with that right at this moment. Thank you, Lord, for that. Appreciate that. Okay? So, let's talk about how forgiveness relates to prayer. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And verse 9. Because here's how it works. Because we are forgiven, we have a right to approach God. We have a right to come before Him. We have a right to come before the throne of grace, boldly, confident, knowing that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. And it's see, forgiveness gives us the platform by which we can make requests to God. Okay? Daniel chapter 9, verse 9, and Daniel here is praying. Okay? And he says here in verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws. Notice when Daniel prays, he included himself in how the society was at the time. He didn't say those people. He said we. Okay? And neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws to which he set before us. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges and judged us by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. So forgiveness, it is God's mercy that gives us a platform where we can call upon him and he can hear our prayers and he can act on our behalf. Daniel was praying to the Lord because he knew that God was merciful. He knew that even though we rebelled, God would forgive. And it was that Daniel was praying. It was that platform that he was standing and making his prayer to the Lord. Okay? Go with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. So when you mess up, cry out for mercy. Psalm 51, verse 1. David messed up before he said this prayer. He made a big mistake. He missed the mark. He fell short of God's glory. And he cries out to the Lord and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." It was the forgiveness of God that gave him the strength to call upon God and ask him to correct his mistake, to forgive him, to blot out my transgressions. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But you desire truth in the inward parts." You see how David is approaching God? He's approaching God based on the forgiveness. Yeah, he messed up, but he's acknowledging his sin and he's making a confession. And we know from the New Testament that when we confess our sins, what happens? He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes the reason people aren't forgiven is because they haven't confessed. It's like forgiveness is knocking at the door, but they don't answer the door. Forgiveness, mercy is saying, "Let me in. Let me in. Let me in." Ding dong, ding dong. But we're not answering the door. It is through the forgiveness. You know, Jesus told the story about the woman who came and wiped his feet with her hair. He made this statement. He says, "Those who are forgiven much love much, but those who are forgiven little love little." She was a wicked woman. And the Pharisee was like, "Well, if Jesus knew what this kind of woman was, you know, he but then he told this story of the woman in Luke chapter 7. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Do you realize, you know what forgiveness does? It cleanses your conscience. And your conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Your conscience, in essence, is your guiding light. It's the compass within you that will guide you into what's right and what's not right, what's right or what's wrong. And what happens is, when we experience the forgiveness of God, our consciences are cleansed. See, when we do wrong, we're denying the voice of our conscience. And it becomes harder to hear your conscience when it speaks. But forgiveness restores your conscience. It's like when your car is covered in salty dirt and filth, and you take it to the car wash, and it cleanses all that stuff, and it looks better again. It wipes all the filth away. This is what forgiveness does to our conscience. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. "But in Christ, being come and a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for who? For us." He obtained it for us. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctified the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. God's forgiveness and his cleansing purges our conscience so we can be better conduits of God's power, so that we can connect with God. And the connection is clear. You don't have dead spots. You can hear his voice. You can know his instructions. You can follow him. Forgiveness is powerful. And when we take God's forgiveness and don't share it with others, it actually blocks his forgiveness. Because when we're not forgiving others, we're not operating by faith. Well, I don't feel like forgiving him. Who said anything about feeling? When faith is concerned, your feelings don't matter. Because you can act in faith when you don't feel anything. There's sometimes I lay hands on people, I don't feel a thing, but God does something. It's not based on feelings, it's based on faith. So it's from the standpoint of forgiveness that we can make our request known to God, and he hears us. And last week we talked about reciprocity, what goes around comes around. God uses the measure that we measure back unto us. So what kind of measure tool are you using? Are you using a quarter cup, a half cup, a cup, a bucket, a dump truck? What kind of tool do you measure to God? God's going to take that same measuring tool and measure it back to you. What goes around comes around. You better sow good seeds, because your seeds will come up to a harvest. God is not deceived, or God is not mocked. Galatians 6:7. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, some people think that because they haven't reaped something, they sow a bad seed today and they don't reap something next week, they think they're okay. But you know what? Sometimes we don't reap instantly, but we will reap. I'll give you an example. How many know the story of Aaron and Miriam who came against their brother Moses? Okay? Moses was in God's position of authority. And Miriam and Aaron spoke bad against Moses. In essence, anytime that we speak bad against someone in authority, we're talking against God. God took what Miriam and Aaron said personally. And the glory appeared in the tabernacle, and he was going to judge them. And Moses interceded, and he said, "Don't judge them, forgive them." And Miriam experienced leprosy for 7 days. But Aaron was not judged at that time because he wore the priestly robe. He was anointed as priest. And the minute that Eleazar, who succeeded Aaron as priest, when Eleazar became priest, judgment came to Aaron, and he died quickly the moment that that mantle of priest was taken from him. He wasn't judged right then, but he was judged because of what he spoke against Moses later on. Don't think because you're not judged right away that you're free. You know, it doesn't work that way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Changes the way we plant, doesn't it? Absolutely. Changes the way we treat others. Yes, it does. It all has to do with forgiveness. Okay? What does sin do? Sin breaks your fellowship with God. Sin causes a dead spot in your communication with God. You can't hear him. It interrupts your fellowship with God. Sin is a rebellious attitude and a wrongful act. God talked about those people in the wilderness. they're stiff-necked and rebellious. Moses, just step out of the way. Let me wipe them out. And Moses would say, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? You know? Sin is a rebellious attitude. Anytime that you rebel against authority, no matter what that authority is, you're rebelling against God. Well, what if the authority is wicked? What if he is? You think anybody was wicked? You think any wicked people put a nail in Jesus' hands and feet? You think any wicked people were chanting, crucify him, crucify him? You think there were some wicked people there? What did Jesus do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave them. Powerful. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness. That means you don't have any law. When there's no law, there's anarchy. According to 1 John 3:4. Sin produced death. Romans 5:12. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Sin brought death. And Romans 3:23, sin is missing the mark and falling short. We all fall short of the glory of God. It's missing the mark. But thank God. Now let's talk about forgiving others in the last few minutes. All right? Go with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, 1 through 4. Verse 1 says, then he said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. If it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself, verse 3. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. That's pretty easy. Well, if he trespasses you, rebuke him. What does it mean to rebuke? To correct, to admonish, to point him in the right way. Look, you really shouldn't do that. What you did hurt me, you know. But let's say someone does something and they treat you really bad, but then they come to you. You know what? I really shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have did that. Would you forgive me? If they trespass you, rebuke him. But if they forgive, if they repent, forgive him. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh yeah, that's really fun, isn't it? Pray for those who persecute you. Wow. It's all part of forgiveness. Didn't say complain about them. Pray for them. Didn't say whine about them. Pray for him. Jeremiah, I can't believe that so-and-so always does this to me. Just then, Jeremiah should rebuke me. He said, let's pray. Let's pray for that person. I don't want to pray. Well, then you're in the wrong spirit. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You know, Peter, he asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? And with a smile on his face, Peter looked at Jesus and said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven? And Jesus looked at him and smiled even bigger. He said, 70 times seven. And I could just say, Peter, go, oh, that's not the answer that I was looking for. 70 times seven, 490 times. Why should you always forgive? Because you're doing it according to God's strength and not your own. And God has an abundant supply of forgiveness. And we have to take his supply and share it with others. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless them with which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Say, curse not. If you have an urge to give someone a piece of your mind, hold that thought. Give them a piece of the rock instead of a piece of your mind. Bless them which persecute you. Jesus did, didn't he? He forgave their ignorance. He forgave Peter for denying him three times. He told Peter before it happened, he said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you return, strengthen your brethren. When you return, that's a prayer of faith. Abraham forgave Lot when there was strife between his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Abraham could have said, Lot, you go. But he said, okay, whichever way you go, I'm going to go the opposite. That's how you bless them that persecute you. You don't answer an insult with an insult. You ever do that before? Answer an insult with an insult? And you keep marks, you know. Who do you tell who wins? How can you tell who wins if both of you are, you know, what did they say? If two people fling mud, both of them are going to end up dirty. All right? Let's go down to verse. Well, let's continue on. Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, Jesus was silent like a sheep at the shearer before his accusers. Are you the king of the Jews? You say that I am. You know, Pilate didn't know what to do with them. A soft answer turns away wrath, doesn't it? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It's part of forgiving others. All right, go down to verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, throw a pie in his face. Oh, you know, Gabriel and I, we started a New Year's tradition. This New Year's, we put a pie in each other's face. He wanted to do it, so we did. So that's going to be our thing. But if your enemy hunger, feed him. Wow. That's powerful. And don't put rat poison in the food. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Your kindness will put his evil to shame. You can kill evil with kindness. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? You don't fight like the devil. God operates on a higher plane. Susan Wesley wrote this poem. So artists melt the sullen ore of lead by heaping coals of fire upon its head. In the kind warmth, the metal learns to glow, and pure from the dross, the silver runs below. So our kindness, you know, what did Joseph say? When he finally revealed himself to his brothers in Egypt, they didn't recognize him because by this time he could speak Egyptian. He looked Egyptian. They didn't know it was his brother, but he knew them. He told them what the devil meant for evil, God brought good out of it. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Joseph was good to his brothers. He was kind to his brothers, even when they wanted to kill him and throw him in the pit and lie about him and left him alone for all these years. Joseph could have plotted and planned his revenge, but that wouldn't have done him any good. He wouldn't have excelled to where God wanted him to be with having a vengeful heart. But instead, he chose to let good override the evil. And what happened? His brothers repented. Amen? And they saw them. He saw his dream come true as his brothers and his father were bowing down to him. There in that moment, his dream that God showed him years ago came true. That's what you call walking by faith and not by sight. Yeah, I'm sure. But see, Joseph chose not to be resentful of his brothers in spite of what they did. All right? Let me give you some things that forgiveness is. According to Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 25, forgiveness is releasing one from a debt. Compassion brought a release. Forgiveness is unlimited. Matthew 18, 21 and 22, that's where Jesus told Peter 70 times 7. Forgiveness is unlimited. Forgiveness is restoration. Philemon 10 through 18. Philemon was a slave who escaped his master. And he came in contact with Paul. And guess what? While he was on the run, he must have gotten born again. Because Paul writes a letter to his master saying, "Would you please take him back? He's now a brother of mine." Read it. It's only one chapter, but Philemon, that's a story of restoration. Paul wrote a letter to the master to restore Philemon more, not as a slave, but as a more of a family member. Forgiveness is freedom from guilt. Whoo! I don't know about you, but I like being free from guilt. According to Psalm 32 and verse 5, God forgives confessed sin. Forgiveness is having God's law in your heart. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Just want you to see this here. And then I'm going to finish up with one story. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Well, go back to verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." God will forget your sins and your iniquities. Nadine, I don't remember. What was that thing that you did? I don't remember. I can't remember. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Let me just say one thing about forgiveness and then we'll close. When we sin, we're separated from the life of God. Okay? And it's up to us to make a decision to make things right with God. Why wouldn't Joseph get involved with Potiphar's wife? Because he said, "How could I sin this thing against God?" And he ran. Because ultimately, when we sin, we hurt God. So we have the prodigal son. He goes and does his own thing. Father lets him. He gives him his inheritance. He has a riotous life. He's living it up. No accountability, no responsibility. As long as he's got money, all of his friends are there partying. Money runs out, so do his friends. And he got to a low point. Do you realize that God will allow a person to reach the bottom before he will allow them to go as far as they need to go before they make a decision to turn their life around. And while he was hanging out with the pigs, he had this thought, you know, my father's servants have it better than I do. And he came to himself. He sobered up in his mind. He got rid of all the things that were darkening or clouding his mind. And he says, I'm going to go home and I'll offer myself to be a servant. And he went home. But I want you to notice something. He didn't receive a robe and a ring until he came home. While he was apart, he didn't have the robe and the ring. He didn't have fellowship with his father. He didn't have unity with father. He couldn't hear his father's voice while he was away. But when he made the decision to come home, to repent, and to humble himself, guess what? He was restored into fellowship. That's powerful forgiveness. Kill the fatted calf. He put a robe on him and a ring. He had restored fellowship with the father. That's why when people sin, we need to be instruments of restoration. We all have been given a ministry of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for God, each one of us. Ambassador Andrew, Ambassador Helen. We are ambassadors, and it is our job to help people restore their broken fellowship. It's called witnessing. Called letting our light so shine before men that they see our good works. That is our job. Who else is going to do it? All the angels will do it. No, the angels don't preach the gospel. It's up to you and I. When you see teenagers that have a broken relationship with God, it's up to you to help them repair that relationship by telling them, guess what? God doesn't remember your sins. He's forgiven you. He's good. He's gracious. He's loving. Tell them how good God is, and that'll make them want to come. That's what we have to do in forgiving others. We have to take the forgiveness that God showed us. And each one of us could say, whoo, God's patient. He was patient with me. He waited a long, God was long-suffering for me. Guess what? Let's take that and show someone else who how else are they going to come into the kingdom? Unless someone shows them how good God is. Go and be an advertisement for God. Don't hold grudges or bad attitudes, because it only hurts yourself. It only stops your faith from working. Amen? So, Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that we can be better instruments and tools in your hands to help people, Father, restore their fellowship with you. Lord, help us to be a light. Help us to be a voice. Father, help us to have a pattern of living that causes people around us to ask questions. And let's be people who spread forgiveness around. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you have any aught in your heart against anyone, deal with it now. Don't leave here with a heart full of aught. You cry out to God and you confess it to Him, and you just believe you receive that you're forgiven. Just release, you know what? Anybody who sins is stupid. Sin makes you stupid. That's why, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They didn't know that they were being motivated by the devil. But guess what? The forgiveness, them being forgiven, is probably helping them to come home. Amen? God bless you guys. Have a great evening. And see you Sunday.